Well, good morning, Keystone. One of our values is we stand in awe of God's word, stand in awe of God's word. And we want to continue in light of that this morning in the book of Joshua. And I trust you've been here, as Tom mentioned, for this series, which has been, I know, good for me spiritually. And we're going to continue in that today. So welcome. If you're new, you can start finding your way to Joshua chapter 4. If you have a Bible, that's where we're going to be, Joshua chapter 4 and a little bit of chapter 5. So go ahead and turn there. Great to have you worshiping with us this morning. I had a special lunch on Thursday. I was texting with my family about it because I had lunch with a friend of mine from college. We went to Bible college together. His name is Jeff. He was also my boss when I worked at United Parcel Service in college. So we went to school together, but he was my boss. And through circumstances, found out he's a pastor now in Iowa. We're both in Iowa. Can you imagine? So here we are, me and Jeff. And we figured out that other than like seeing each other, you know, online, on video or whatever, we have not seen each other face-to-face since I walked out of UPS that one morning in like 29 years ago. And so, man, I was texting with my kids and just telling them what it's like to talk to somebody that you haven't had a face-to-face conversation with in 29 years and to have such a history with him. I mean, I know some of you are like, dude, I haven't been alive 29 years. I know. I have been, okay? So let me have my moment. But I mean, I said to my family, like, we talked about things, whole windows of time in my life that I'd forgotten about. And I mean, we could have shut Main Street Cafe down on Thursday talking. It was great. Life looks back and remembers what happened. Back there, right? And we also many times have memorabilia, don't we, from the past? I mean, like trinkets and pictures and possessions of the past. In some ways, I wrote this, our homes are museums filled with the artifacts, remembering the life we live. Isn't that true? I mean, if I would walk through your home, in some ways it's in the best sense, it's a museum that's filled with artifacts. It's filled with things remembering life the way you lived. We all have those things. I brought one with me this morning. Here it is. Look at this. I wish I could make it bigger for you. It's a little felt car. It's not very good. My son made this when he was like 5. And it hangs on the rearview mirror of my car. He's like 24 now. Seriously. And I know some of your parents are like, dude, my house is full of that. Do I have to save all that stuff? No. When we moved out here, we threw a lot away. But for some reason, this little felt car has made it through 2 or 3 vehicles, a couple moves, and there it hangs. And yeah, we all have things like that. If you ask me about that, I could tell you things about that time in the life of my family. I could tell you things about my son when he was 5 years old. I could tell you about back there, what that means. I would have stories to tell you. We can all relate to that. Here's something, the Bible is like this. Did you know that? And our spiritual lives should be like this, friends. Our spiritual lives should be filled with remembering about what God has done. Look at 2 Timothy 1:5. This is Paul writes, he's a man who writes a lot of the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. And among the young men who are proteges of Paul is a young man named Timothy. Look what Paul says to Timothy as he writes to him, 2 Timothy 1:5. He says, I remember your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm convinced is in you also. Paul says, Timothy, I remember your mom. I remember your grandmother. Lois and Eunice, what women of God they were. I remember the influence they had on you. I remember hanging out with them. Paul one example, remembers. Well, today as we continue in our series, Living in the Promise, the narrative is still focused on crossing the river. As Tom said, we're still in the river. Last week, Pastor Brent helpfully framed the last few chapters. He presented us with this challenge, start by following and step by faith. Remember that? Start by following, step by faith. If you don't remember that, shame on you. You should remember that. It's easy. It's pointed. Go back and watch it. It's so helpful. Start by following, step by faith. So now the people of Israel, the nation gets across. And God tells Joshua to remember in chapter 4. He tells Joshua to remember. He wants everyone to remember what this crossing means. Crossing of the Jordan. He wants the people to remember what it means. And then we're going to move into a little bit of chapter 5. And we're going to consider together the manner in which the nation is renewed. So remember and renew. Two words to keep in mind today. They're renewed in their identity as the people of God. So chapter 4, cross the Jordan. God says to Joshua, tell the people to remember. Chapter 5, the little bit we're going to cover, the people are renewed in their identity in God. Remember, renew. Remember, renew. What might the think about those two words in your life. What might the implications of that be for you today? Remember what God has done in your life. Renew yourself in who you are in your relationship with God. I want to read from the text. I'm going to, as I did a couple weeks ago, pull out some verses to give us the story, okay? So these won't be on the screen, so follow along. If you have your Bible, Joshua chapter 4, page 278 for me, maybe not for you, but find your way there. Joshua chapter 4, let's get the essence of the story so we have it in front of us, and let's read it. 4:1. After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, choose 12 men from the people, one man for each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing, carry them with you, and set them down at the place where you spend the night. Middle of 5. Each of you lift a stone onto his shoulders, one for each of the Israelite tribes, so that this will be a sign among you in the future. When your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? You should tell them the water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the Ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan, the Jordan's water was cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites. 17. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up from the Jordan. When the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant come up from the middle of the Jordan and their feet stepped on solid ground, the water of the Jordan resumed its course, flowing over all the banks as before. 20. Then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones? You should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Jump down to chapter 5, verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelite men again. Verse 4. This is the reason Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness along the way after they had come out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out were circumcised, none of the people born in the wilderness along the way were circumcised after they had come out of Egypt. Middle of 7. They were still uncircumcised since they had not been circumcised along the way. Verse 11 and 12. The day after Passover, they ate unleavened bread and roasted grain from the produce of the land. And the day after they ate from the produce of the land, the manna ceased. Since there was no more manna for the Israelites, they ate from the crops of the land of Canaan that year. God's word. Remember, God says to Joshua in chapter 4, renew, remember, renew. What might the implications be of that? I think among those implications, there are two. The first one is this: remember because we need to mark moments, okay? Write that down. Keep track of that in your mind. God says to Joshua, this is big coming through the Jordan. I want you to remember this because it's a moment that needs to be marked. Remember this. We need to remember what God has done in our lives because we need to mark moments. So God says to Joshua to tell the people, pile up some rocks, make a memorial, mark the moment with that pile of rocks. If you want to go down a biblical studies rabbit hole, which we won't, there might have been two pile of rocks, okay? So in 4:9, it seems like they made a pile of rocks in the middle of the river while the waters are being held, which is crazy. So they walk back in and they make a pile of rocks there, and then they also make a pile of rocks on the other side. Probably there's only one pile of rocks, but they're piling up rocks. We know that. And God tells them to do this. God says, make a memorial. We remember because we need to mark moments. Look at 4:6. Joshua's orders from God to the people. So that this will be a sign among you. In other words, piling up these rocks. This will be a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? Look at 4:21. Same thing. And he said to the Israelites, this is Joshua, in the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones? One translation says, why are these stones important to you? What do these stones represent? We remember because we need to mark moments of what God has done in our lives. Author Ralph Davis writes, the greatest enemy of faith may be forgetfulness. Isn't that good? The greatest enemy of faith might be forgetfulness. And so God says to Joshua to say to the people, create a memorial from a pile of rocks because someday your kids might walk by. You know, you're in this part of the land again and you're walking on the edge of the Jordan, you're throwing rocks in the water, and Junior sees a pile of rocks. And he says, hey, Mom. Hey, Dad, what do those stones mean? They seem out of place. And it's your opportunity to mark that moment. As it were, that memorabilia to say, oh yeah, let me tell you about those times. Let me tell you about what happened back there. We remember because we need to mark moments. Greatest enemy of faith may be forgetfulness. When the people you know see influences in your life and say, "What? Why was that important to you? Why did that matter in your life?" Are you able to remember to mark those moments? So here's a question for us. What are we doing to remember? Maybe write that down. Maybe this week, write it down and think about it. What am I doing to remember the work of God in my life so that my kids see it, so that the people I influence understand what the moments are in my life and in the ways that God is working? What am I doing to remember? In what ways are you marking the moments when God took you across the river? This is a big deal, right? Man, the crossing of the Jordan, it's all through the Bible. It's a big deal. I thought about it like this. We need to make a big deal out of things that are a big deal. Spiritually. I was texting with my son last week, and he watched a movie about the Miracle on Ice. Remember that in 1980? Some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You're lost. Greatest moment in I have chills right now. Right? If you were there, you remember, right? I mean, I was like burning up my phone telling him about that. I remember that night of running out of my house screaming. I didn't even understand hockey. It's a big deal in this country back then. Here's the problem, friends. I'm really good at making a big deal out of things that aren't really a big deal. Right? Some of us are great at that. But what about making a big deal out of things that really are a big deal? Crossing the Jordan River, the way God met his people there, God tells Joshua, this is a big deal. And I want you to make a big deal out of it. I want some guys to take some rocks and pile them up so that it's a memorial for families and people all the way down the line so that someday you can look back and say, that's to remember. That's to mark the moment of what God did. What are you doing? What am I doing to remember? What must have this been like crossing that river? Pastor Brent did a great job last week of kind of explaining the flood stage. And I don't know, I found myself as he was talking, sitting there thinking, what must have that been like? One of the things I thought of was like the National Geographic show when the herd of buffalo have to go across the crocodile-infested river. And like, you don't want to be a buffalo. At least you don't want to be a slow-swimming buffalo, right? You see the one take off and the alligator like cuts the angle and you're like, I can't watch this. Think about that. Or maybe, did you know that, so last night is the last time I checked, the Des Moines River at the Sailorville Lake Spillway last night was running at 11,800 cubic feet per second. That's a lot, by the way. I think the record for this date is like 16,000 cubic feet per second. So you've probably been there, right? Spray that water. Maybe take your family on a picnic today and hold hands on one side of that river where that water comes out fierce and roaring and say, we're going across. Well, don't say we're going across, but. Here's the thing, the Jordan didn't have like the nice concrete conduit spillway, right? It's just water everywhere. Josh says, we're going. And as Pastor Brent said last week, let's take a step. Nope, I am not crossing the Des Moines River. Not with my family. I love these kids. It helps, doesn't it, to think about it like that? Like, this crossing is a big deal. Am I making a big deal out of the things that are a big deal spiritually? Because God tells Joshua, I want you to mark the moment. I want you to remember. This is all through the Bible. Look at this story's funny. Look at 2 Samuel 23:16. This is King David. He's thirsty. He's like, oh, if I could just get a drink out of this certain well. So look at this. They're at war. Three warriors broke through the Philistine camp. They break through the enemy line. It says they drew water from the well at the gate of Bethlehem. They bring it back to David. Here's your water, king. He refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out to the Lord. There's part of me that's like, dude, what are you doing? I just risked my life. I'm a family man. I got kids to worry about. Drink the water. But for David, it's such a moment that he says, I can't drink this water. I want to mark this moment. I want to remember what happened here. And he pours that water out as an offering, as a sacrifice. Hey, Dad, remember that story, that time you told me when you went with King David and you risked your life to get that water and he poured it out on the ground and you got mad? Remember that? I do remember that. God met us there. This is a funny one, too. Luke 17:4. Remember Mount of Transfiguration? Somebody like, what's that? It sounds crazy. It was crazy. Like Jesus shows up and his body changes into a glorious form and Moses is there and Elijah's there and they're all like there and Peter, James, and John are there and there's a lot going on. It's overwhelming. And this is Luke 17:4. I love Peter. He's like, I don't ever want to go away from this. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. I'll set up three shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We'll stay forever. Jesus is like, no, we're not doing that. We're going back down the mountain. But do you sympathize with Peter, though? Like, that would, like, let's build a tent for everybody. I don't know. This is just the craziest thing I've ever experienced. Moses is shining and Elijah's shining and whoa, I mean, let's stay here. Well, they couldn't stay there, but I respect Peter saying, we're marking the moment. I want to remember this. He Hey, Dad, remember that time you said you climbed a mountain with Jesus and he lit up and Moses appeared? And, yeah, I remember. I wonder, what are we doing to remember? Because we need to mark the moments of when God has worked. Read Psalm 78 today. There's like 100 verses, so we can't put it on screen, but talks about this. And indeed, woven into the very fabric of our faith as followers of Jesus consistently over the course of our lives and throughout the history of the church, there are practices that mark the moment, right? I don't know if you heard, but next Sunday is baptism. Shameless plug right here. If you're like, I should have been baptized, I need to be baptized, I am preaching to you, get baptized. Mark the moment next Sunday. Don't wait. Find me, find Pastor Brent, Pastor Todd, one of the elders, someone who looks like they know what they're doing, and say, I need to be baptized. Let's talk about that. Why? Because in the very fabric of our faith and the church of Jesus Christ, there are ways to mark moments. Baptism is one of them. Today we will celebrate communion. Today, Jesus said, bread, and he said, wine. Bread and wine, and he said, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim, you remember the death of the Lord until he comes. One writer says, the pattern of remembering as noted here in Joshua 4 carries over for the church. We continue to remember the utterly unique act of our Redeemer in the Lord's Supper. Even when our children whisper to us as we take communion, what does that mean? What is that? What are you doing? Do you ever have your kids talk to you during communion like that? Even then, we can whisper our brief witness back to them. Remember, because we need to mark moments. Followers of Jesus today at Keystone, what pile of rocks do you need to stack up in remembrance? Maybe you need to go home today, pile up some rocks. Maybe through baptism today in communion, celebrating some victory over sin for the sake of your family. What are some things you need to remember? I have a godly heritage by the grace of God. When I was 7 years old, I can remember being convicted of my sin. Now, at 7 years old, there wasn't a long track record, but I knew I was sinful. And I remember on a Sunday afternoon saying to my dad, Dad, I need to know Jesus. 7 years old. Best I knew how, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. A lot has happened since then. I had hair when I was 7. Lots changed. But man, do I remember that moment. And maybe today that's the moment you need to mark. Maybe today you're here and you don't know Jesus. And the moment for you is giving your life to him. Even, and again, as Brent talked last week, even the presence of God in that ark that went before the people across the river. Symbolic of Jesus who goes before us. The Bible tells us he's the way, the truth, the life. And we come to God through him. Is that your moment to mark? Is today your day to do that? To ask Jesus into your life. Remember, because we need to mark moments. The second thing is this, renew, because we need to keep going. Okay? Chapter 5 is really about the people being renewed, because we need to keep going. Aren't you glad for automatic renewal with everything from apps to insurance? If I had to renew my car insurance, I would not have car insurance. I would be easy pickings. Why is that? Well, we know they're important things for us. Insurance is important, but we get distracted, don't we? I get distracted, and if it wasn't renewed automatically, I'd forget. Life isn't like that. And we get distracted. And sometimes in our relationship with Jesus, there needs to be times where we are renewed. And so it is, as the people cross the Jordan, the first thing God does is says, renew the people. Several ways. Look at 4:18. So interesting. When the priest, the wording here is interesting. When the priest carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant came up from the middle of the Jordan and their feet stepped out on solid ground, notice the water of the Jordan resumed its course, flowing over all the banks as before. We did it. We made it across the Des Moines River at the Sailorville Spillway. And what was it like? 2 days? Was it an hour? Was it 10 seconds that water just went all back? Here's the thing, friends. We need to be renewed even when life resumes its course. Be renewed. Be renewed because we need to keep going. And that means be renewed when life resumes its course. One translation says, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and went as formerly over their banks. And you're like, that's where I'm at right now. Life is over its banks. The Jordan River of your life has resumed its flow, man. I am no longer walking through on dry ground. I'm on the other side of something God did, and it's tough right now. It's tough in my relationship. It's tough at work. It's tough with my husband. It's tough. Something's hard. Life has resumed its course, its flood stage. Even there, God tells Joshua, listen, I see the picture of that metaphor of that water rushing back. The river is as it was. It's dangerous. We're moving on. Renewed even when life resumes its course. Some of you are living that. Remember what Pastor Brent said last week? God's promise is not dependent upon the level of the river. Isn't that good? Renew because we need to keep going when life resumes its course. We need to keep going because we are the people of God. Several times in chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, the writer says, the people, all the people. We need to be renewed because renewal is important because we need to keep going because we're the people of God. Keystone, we're the people of God. So it's been my privilege in the sermons in Joshua to introduce young ears to interesting words. 2 weeks ago with Rahab, and now with circumcision. You're welcome, parents. What to make of these symbols of circumcision and of Passover? Well, as the people of God, God's reputation is at stake. Look interestingly down at 5:6. Notice the contrast here, 5:6. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness. This is Joshua laying out the case for circumcision, for Passover, being renewed as the people of God. For the Israelites wandered in the wilderness 40 years until all the nation's men of war who came out of Egypt had died because they did not obey the Lord. So the Lord vowed never to let them see the land he had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it's like he's saying, I vowed never to let them see the land I vowed I would let them see. One translation says it like this: for the Lord had sworn a solemn oath to them that he would not let them see the land which he had sworn an oath to give them. Which is it? Well, it's interesting because what's happening here is this: one generation by its unbelief has forfeited its share in the promise. Isn't that tragic? The generation that wandered in the wilderness because of unbelief had forfeited the privilege of going into the promised land. And now there's this new generation and God's reputation is at stake in his people. And he says, the symbols of circumcision and Passover speak to my reputation. So we're renewed as the people of God. Keystone is a next generation church, right? So what is it? This is on us. What does it look like in our church with this generation that we're responsible for? God forbid it would be forfeited through unbelief, right? That we would raise up the generation we're responsible for. How about in your life? Maybe you're here and you're a first generation Christian. It's like, man, Matt, by the grace of God, I've turned my back on so much stuff in my family. And today, I want to be renewed as a person of God, as his child. His reputation is at stake in my life. God bless you. Begin anew. Be that generation. So we're renewed because we need to keep going. When life resumes its course, because we are the people of God, because his reputation is at stake, and because it's our identity. Look at 5:10. While the Israelites camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, this is after they're circumcised. They observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th month. One writer says, as Christian baptism and communion symbolize faith and remembrance of Christ's redemption in the new covenant, so circumcision and Passover symbolize the Abrahamic covenant and Israel's covenant. These were signs of our identity is as the people of God, and we want to be renewed in that. And for these people, circumcision and Passover mattered. It's spiritual family, right? A couple weeks ago, Joan and I were at the Ankeny Farm Market, which I love. And we're there and we're walking past the booth and some lady stops me and she says, "Hey, can I ask you something? Where's Keystone Church?" So I'm like, all right. I'm trying to figure out how she knew Keystone Church. So I tell her and she's like, "Well, you have that Keystone shirt on." And she's like, "I see so many people walking around here with Keystone shirts on." And I was like, right on. So let me tell you about it. That's our identity, right? But it's not just a cool logo and a nice t-shirt. It stands, so be careful where you wear that thing. It stands for something. It's our way of saying that in the community, we are the people of God. His reputation is at stake in our identity. We're spiritual family. And that's a blessed thing. That's a solemn thing too. We're responsible. We need to be renewed because we need to keep going when life resumes its course because we are the people of God, but also in different seasons. Look at 12. Again, it's so interesting how the story ends, verse 5:12. And the day after they ate from the produce of the land, what's it say? The manna ceased. Some of you are like, what is that? Well, it's complicated, but it's basically snow food, right? The Israelites have a love-hate relationship with it, right? Like, we love it, but we're sick of it. You can only make so much stuff with it. But it's this bread that's miraculously provided by God. You come out in the morning, you pick it up, you bake bread, you get it in the evening. I mean, it's provided. Manna is awesome. Takes all the thought out of it. What are we going to have for dinner tonight? Manna. And the day after they ate from the produce of the land, no more manna. Since there was no more manna for the Israelites, they ate from the crops of the land of Canaan that year. Crops are on our mind right now, aren't they? Farmers. I mean, I'm not a farmer, so I'm going to get in over my head here, but it looks like they're ready to be harvested, right? Pretty soon, everything's drying out. It's getting brown. Pretty soon, farmers will harvest the fruit of the crop. God says to Joshua, manna goes away. It's time to eat the crops of the land. The manna ceased. The crops will now sustain you. Some of us here eat manna. Some of you are like, it has been a great week. Manna. God just provided. Some of us are like, I'm working the fields, bro. Like, I know there's fruit. I know God will provide, but it's a different season for me. There's no manna. It's the crops. And maybe it's hard. And maybe it's lean. And maybe you're just getting started. And maybe you're like, the manna wasn't so bad. Well, God says we're moving on, so let's be renewed. One writer said, most of God's gifts to his people are not dazzling and gaudy. Isn't that true? I love dazzling and gaudy. Give it to me, God. Most of God's gifts to his people are not dazzling and gaudy, but wrapped in simple brown paper, quiet provisions of safety on a highway, the health of your children, picking up a paycheck, supper with your family, all in an ordinary day's work for God. So be renewed. Be renewed when life resumes its course, because we are the people of God and in different seasons. I wonder, is there a place for renewal in your relationship with Jesus today? Maybe as life resumes its course and you just need to be renewed in who you are because of Jesus. Maybe in whatever season you find yourself, there's manna, there's no manna. In whatever season you find yourself, remember God's reputation is at stake in our identity as the people of God. Let's live that way this week. Remembrance, because we need to mark moments. Hey friend, what pile of rocks do you need to stack up in remembrance? And even as we think about that, we're going to apply that truth today as we celebrate communion. Let's pray. God in heaven, we are learning so much from this journey. We pray that as we think about what you call us to, remember that God, we would be people who mark moments for the good of our children, for the good of the influences that we have with people around us who look at our lives and say, why would you make that choice back there? Lord, help us to mark moments. Help us to make a big deal out of things that are really a big deal, which is what Jesus has done for us. Lord, some of us here, renewal's upon us. And in this moment of communion, our hearts need to be full of repentance or thanksgiving or just getting back to what you've done for us. Take us there. Lord, for some, it's hard right now. Man, the banks are, the river's back over the banks. The Des Moines River of my life is running at 11,800 CFS. God, I need you. I pray if that's the prayer, Lord, you would meet that person in a new way today. God, your reputation is at stake. Our identity is as the people of God, and so help us to live that way. Thank you for Jesus. As he commanded us, we remember him and his sacrifice for us now. Amen. So we are renewed in the hope and the promise of the cross. But perhaps it's not renewal this morning, but being made new. Did you hear that? Maybe it's not that you need to be renewed. Maybe you need to be made new. If that's the case, it's not communion for you today. It's calling on the name of the Lord. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, don't partake of these elements. They speak judgment if you don't know Jesus, because they are for those of us who call Jesus our Savior to remember what he's done for us. But if you're here and you're like, man, tell me more about that. Let these elements pass. And instead of communion, it's call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, Romans 10:13 says it simply, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that great? So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, just quietly as we partake, pray and say, God, I'm calling on your name. I want to be saved. Let's talk about that. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to distribute the elements, hold on to those, and we'll partake together after a brief time of singing and remembering. Let's pray. God, thank you for these elements. Thank you for the body given for us, the blood shed. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus. Lord, we worship you now. Do a work in our heart by your Spirit, we pray in his name. Amen.